We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, it's nice to see you, my friend. Welcome back to another audio adventure here on Insight. I'm Chris Van Vliet, and thank you so much for being with us here on my birthday. Super grateful that I can share my birthday with you and share it with Chuck Palumbo, who has a ton going on in his life after wrestling. I'll let him tell you more about it, but he builds motorcycles. He hosted a TV show on Discovery Channel. He's in a band, and he's fixing up an old house from 1924. Oh, man, you can find it all on his YouTube channel called Chuck of All Trades. And by the way, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, I've mentioned my birthday, May 19th, on pretty much every episode for the last 6 months or so. The original goal was 1,000 reviews before the end of 2020. And they just keep pouring in. It was amazing. They just kept pouring in. So we moved it up to 1,000 reviews before my birthday last year. And then it became 2,000 reviews before my birthday this year. We set that goal like 6 months ago, and we're so freaking close, because I think we had like, I don't know, 12-ish hundred reviews when we set this goal 6 months ago. So a huge thank you to everyone who's listening on Apple Podcasts or has had the ability to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, because nothing against any other platform. Androids are fine, but Spotify, Stitcher, Google, whatever, they don't allow these public reviews. And these reviews, along with you following or subscribing, are one of the main reasons why Insight is one of the top podcasts in the world in the wrestling category. So thank you so much. Wherever you happen to be listening, I appreciate you. This review is from John Schartzer, who says, "The best to do it. CBV is the best interviewer in the game. He gives people like myself countless amounts of motivation and something to strive for. He's also extremely humble and has actually done an interview with myself for a site that I write for. Keep killing it and getting better at what you do, my friend." Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. And I'm just really thankful to everybody who's been on this ride with us. I mean, 200 plus episodes in, and there's no sign of slowing down here, people. My guest today is a former WCW and WWE superstar. Please welcome Chuck Palumbo. Chuck, it is such a pleasure to be sitting down with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Likewise. Like I was telling you before we started recording, I'm a fan of what you do. I've watched a few of the videos with you and Billy and some other guys, and I think you do a fantastic job, so thank you.
That is very kind. Thank you so much. And you know, what I find so interesting about you is so many wrestlers have a tough time finding their identity once they leave wrestling, and I feel like you have an infinite amount of identities now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great ride.
Yeah, you're building custom motorcycles, you're rebuilding houses, you're a musician with a band called Three Spoke Wheel. You're doing it all, really.
Yeah. You know, life's short, right? So, you know, I'm a curious guy. I'm very interested. And you're only on this earth for a short period of time. So I want to know what you do. I want to know what the musician does, the lawyer, the carpenter. I want to know about these things, the real estate agent. So, yeah.
Let's get this out of the way real early here in the interview. You have a YouTube channel. It's called Chuck of All Trades. So
yes.
If you're watching this right now, go subscribe to Chuck Palumbo's YouTube channel, Chuck of All Trades, and see all of the stuff that you're doing here. What's the project you're working on right now?
So right now it's a home that was built in 1924. It's a restoration of a home from 1924. So basically ripping this thing down to the studs and then rebuilding it with some modern touches, but yet preserving that 1924 style. So been a lot of fun, a lot of work. You can check it all out on the Chuck of All Trades show. It's simple. It's raw. It's us and we're doing it ourselves. And if we inspire a few people, then fantastic.
Here's what I find really interesting about you. You were, you had a degree in criminal justice. So what was the path that you were originally on?
So, I originally, thought I was going to work in law enforcement. That was it. I went to college. I went from the Navy. In the Navy, I got a scholarship to play basketball. I went to Central Missouri State, was playing basketball in college, and I saw an ad on television for the power play. That's how wrestling started. So yeah, I had no plan, but I was always interested. It's like to this day, I was always interested in trying different things. And I was naive at times. When you're young, you're naive. So you're willing to, take chances. And a lot of times you have to be naive to take these chances to get these opportunities. So it was just, some luck, and some curiosity and some work.
You are very tall. And I don't know if everybody realized you're 6'7", right?
I'm actually 6'5". They boosted me up.
Okay. That's still very tall for us normal sized humans. So, when you're that tall, and I don't know if everybody realizes you're that tall because you were in a time, especially in WCW, where everybody was, gigantic.
Yeah.
When you're that big, do you play basketball simply because you're tall? Are you good at basketball simply because you're tall? Or are you tall, which makes you good at basketball?
Being tall helped. My thing was rebounding. I liked the bang on the boards. I was a very physical player. If I could grab 10, 12, 14 rebounds a night, that was happy. I wasn't worried about scoring. I was in high school, obviously you score large numbers, but in college, if I'm scoring 14 points a game, I'm lucky, but my stuff's all in the paint. 6'5", maybe tall, but when you're playing NCAA basketball, I was a small forward. I mean, centers were 6'10", 6'11". So I was 250 pounds playing basketball. So I was able to, I was able to get in there and dig and grab rebounds and D up on guys. So that's what I enjoyed.
Yeah, you don't really have the build for a basketball player. You certainly have the build more for like a pro wrestler.
I should have, I played basketball, football, baseball. I should have probably continued with football, but I enjoyed basketball. It was an era, I grew up with Larry Bird. I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, a suburb of Providence. So Larry Bird, the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, those were the teams. So I loved basketball, but I wasn't built for it. No, you're right.
So when you see this ad on TV for the WCW Power Plant, what starts to go through your head?
Opportunity. Hmm. So I see, I know nothing about wrestling. I'd never watched it. I didn't know how much was a work, how much was not a work. I didn't know anything about the business. I knew who Hulk Hogan was. We all did, right? Household name. But that's about the extent of that. So I think it was during final exam week. And I'm flipping through the channels and I see wrestling. I'd never seen it. It was probably Monday Nitro. I'd never seen wrestling, but I saw two guys in the ring. I don't remember who they were, but I remember being very athletic and very physical. And I thought it was kind of interesting. So I tuned in for a moment, maybe the rest of the match. And that's when the ad came on TV for the power plant. And I called the number. They said, "You want to be a the TV commercial said, "You want," it was one of those old cheesy commercials. They said, "You want to be a wrestler?" With a question mark. Join the WCW Power Plant where the big boys train. I'm sure somewhere on YouTube or something, the ad's probably out there.
Yeah.
Had a phone number. I called. I wrote it down. I called the phone number. And that's
does how someone actually answer when you call the number, or is it like,
so, yes, I called the number. They didn't answer that night, but I want to say I called the number the next day. I want to say I did call it that night, but no one answered. Called the next day, Jody Hamilton. I didn't know at the time, but Jody Hamilton, the original assassin, Nick Patrick's dad, ran the school. He answers the phone and tells me, oh, so you want to be a wrestler, kid, you know? I had a southern draw going on. And I said, yeah. I didn't know anything about wrestling. So he says, you're an athlete? And I said, yeah. I said, I play basketball in college. And he says, well, get yourself $300 together and come down and we'll try you out. I said, okay. He goes, we'll send you the forms. Back then, there's no email or anything like that. Send me the forms in the mail. I get the forms, fill out the waiver, have to get a physical from my doctor, signs off on it. And the next thing you know, I borrowed some money, saved up some money to fly to Atlanta, go through that initially. You've probably heard about those tryouts from back then. Go through the tryout, make it through the tryout. I finished the tryout. They bring me in their office. Jody Hamilton again, sitting at his desk, sweating over a big bowl of food profusely. As he's eating, I'm telling you, I'm going, oh my God, where am I, man? And he looks at me, he tells me to take my shirt off. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a little strange, but all right. He says, all right. He goes, you look good, kid. He goes, what do you want to do? And I'm going, what do I want to do? I said, what are we doing? No plan, right? So at that point, I'm going, oh gosh, I just spent all the money I had to get down there. I go through the tryout, and I don't know what I'm doing or where it's going. So he says, well, if you want to do this, come back with $3,000 and we'll train you. In the back of my head, the ad on television, which I forgot to mention earlier, said, train for 6 months and there's a possibility you may get a six-figure contract. 26 years old or whatever I was at the time, naive. Say, here, six-figure contract. Yeah. Never seen that type of money in my life. I'm an athlete. If I can make six figures as an athlete, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of sport it is, you're going to pay me to go do whatever, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking about the whole time. So I go back home, sell everything I have. I have a one-year-old daughter at the time, her mom. We drive across country, literally with an old K5 Chevy Blazer, a U-Haul attached, in our clothes and belongings in garbage bags. Drove across country, and next thing you know, we're in Atlanta, and I'm going to the power plant 9 to 5, 5 days a week.
So you totally bet on yourself. You saw
bet on myself.
You saw again, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow being the six-figure contract, and said, "I'm going to get that."
Absolutely, that's all it was. That's all it was. And so I started training. You know, when you're naive, like I said, you'll step out of the box and you know, and try these things. At the time, you don't realize the adversity you're going to face, right? If I had known I was going to face that type of adversity at that time, I probably would have not made that decision. Think about it. No guarantees of money, no benefits, got a baby, no place to live. Start off by living in a hotel, a daily rate hotel in the ghetto. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you, these are the challenges. But at the time, we didn't think of it that way. We were just thinking, oh, wow, this is great. We're going to go down and become wrestlers, you know? And then, you know, to make a long story short, 7 or 8 months later, I had myself a training contract, which at the time I think was $1,000 a week, $800 to $1,000 a week. So going from making nothing ever. The most I ever made was the money I made in the Navy, which was like at the time, I want to say it was you got like $1,050 a month. Wow. I mean, you had a roof over your head and stuff like that. So to make it that in a week.
Yeah.
That was from going for nothing. It was a big deal. So once I got that behind me, now I could actually go and train and be able to feed ourselves, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, all right, I can make this happen now.
Yeah.
So
who was at the power plant with you at that time?
Fantastic group of individuals. Mike Sanders.
Above average, Mike Sanders.
I tell you what, that was very true because that guy had microphone skills.
Yeah.
Very underutilized. Could have done a lot more. Maybe too good on the mic at the time. Kiwi, Alan Funk, Mark Jindrak, Johnny Stamboli, Elix Skipper, Rick Cornell, remember him?
Yeah.
Great. Then Jerry Toot, the Wall. Jerry Toot, one of my closest friends who passed away, came by after. Later on, Sean O'Hare came in. Fantastic. I'm talking about the original old power plant, the old warehouse. Great group of guys. Fantastic time to be in the business. And when you get a great group of guys who are all genuinely working hard together to get to the next level or to accomplish something, and they're all going through the same struggles and facing the same adversities, it's a great bond you have. So great, great group of individuals.
You know, one of my very first things that I ever saw in WCW was the Natural Born Thrillers. And like, when you think back about the size of all of you guys in that faction, that has never been done before ever in wrestling.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because WCW, a lot of times you hear about, we were there at a time where the company was coming to a close, right? Where the company was kind of coming to a downfall. But if you think about, we were ahead of our time. We had guys, 6'5", 270 pounds, who were moving like cruiserweights at the time. Now, yes, did it conflict with the work style at the time? Absolutely, because it was a slow down style kid work time where they wanted you to work, and it was all about psychology, which we didn't learn the psychology to much later. But the athleticism and the work ethic was there. So it was just a fantastic time, but we were ahead of our time. If you look at the guys that are working now, that's the style, right?
Yeah.
We were kind of doing it then.
Yeah.
And they weren't, the established guys weren't, the old timers weren't really digging that, right? And I get it. But I believe we were ahead of our time. But I appreciate that you watched that and liked that. That was a incredible time to be in the business. But then again, think about young guys in their 20s who start, we didn't have developmental deals and the performance center, all the great things that they have now, which is great for those guys. We didn't have social media. I mean, can you imagine if we had social media then? Oh my gosh, it would have been.
Well, it could have been a great thing and also a terrible thing. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it was a good thing we did.
There was so much talent in the Natural Born Thrillers, and I'm really curious who you think was the most underutilized of those guys.
Oh, gosh. That's a very tough question. I believe everybody was. Alan Funk, great talent all the way around, underutilized. Mike Sanders, smart guy, very witty. His mic skills were there, still in a great work or two. Those are some of the minds. Sean O'Hare, impressive looking, athletic. He was still learning as far as the psychology side. We were all still learning. That's the thing, we all learned on TV as far as psychology goes. Yeah, we learned the moves and how to put a match together, but the psychology, we learned on TV. So we all still had a while to go in that department. But yeah, some of those names I just mentioned were you know, but all those guys, you know, I don't want to discredit any of them, because every single one of them were underutilized.
When you're backstage at WCW during that time, it's the Monday Night Wars, are the workers actually paying attention to the ratings every week?
To the best of my knowledge, and from what me personally, no. Not as much. This business is all about self-promotion, right?
Yeah.
It's all about staying in the fight, being a part of what's going on TV that night.
Yeah.
So a lot of times guys are wrapped up in staying afloat and staying alive, because it's a weekly thing. They take you off TV for a couple weeks, things change. So it is a weekly fight, and I'm sure it still is today. Backstage, the week prior, right after that show ends, there's a dynamic that you have to navigate through. And to stay afloat and to stay relative and to stay current and to stay hot, to stay in the storylines, that's a battle that no one sees. And that's a tiring battle that guys have to deal with, guys and girls, on a regular basis. So I think that may consume them more or less. For the most part. Now, yeah, some of the senior guys who've been around a long time, who got that navigation system down, yeah, they may have space in their brain to start thinking about the Kevin Nashes and the Scott Steiners and the Stings and the Macho Man Randy Savages. Those guys, I'm sure, are thinking about that part of it. At that time, we're not looking at it as dollars and cents. We're young kids, happy to be on TV.
Right? Yeah.
And just trying to figure out how to stay on TV.
Right.
We're not thinking dollars and cents. We would have did it for free. Which brings up an interesting point. One of the few businesses in the world where you have guys that are so loyal to the industry, who would be willing to take pay cuts on a regular basis, willing to take on a larger workload with these pay cuts, sacrifice.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Their personal lives, their physical health to stay in the industry. Vince is a very lucky man to have that type of attitude working for him. Unlike any business, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, because if that happened in any other performing business, if this was theater, if this was film, if this was the circus, they'd go, you want me to work more? Well, you're going to pay me more. That's just how this works.
Yeah. That doesn't work in wrestling like that. Right?
Yeah. Well, all those other ones I listed are unionized, which is the big difference.
There you go.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. Now, this isn't a crisis line. This isn't self-help. This is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with traditional therapy ever again. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/insight. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/insight. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So the special offer for anybody listening to Insight right now is 10% off your first month. Just go to BetterHelp.com/insight. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/insight.
Everyone's going to be looking at you right now going, this is Chuck Palumbo with short hair. What happened to the long hair? And when did you decide to cut your hair?
Oh, gosh. Not long after I finished the Discovery shows.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. That long hair is a lot of work.
But, and you know, we go back to the start of this conversation about identity. That was tied into your identity for decades.
It was. And it's been a nice change. It's been easy. It's been a nice change. And it's nice because, you know, now with the internet and all that stuff, you can look back and see matches and see all that stuff. So it was a different time for me. But I like the change.
you've been out of wrestling now for close to 10 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, since your real name is Chuck Palumbo, you must get recognized all the time still.
Not as much. When I had the long hair,
sure,
it was all the time. And I wasn't a John Cena. I wasn't one of those guys. I wasn't at that level. But when you're big and you have long hair, that kind of people might look once and then go, oh, wait a minute, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And then again, this is Southern California. It's not a huge wrestling, in reference to the fans, it's just not, they're not as into it as they would be in the Midwest, the South, or the East Coast. I think Southern California has the fans are a little, you know, it's a little more diluted. So
I'm also in Southern California. What city are you in?
I'm in San Diego.
Oh, I'm in Studio City. I could have down there. We could have done this in your garage.
Yeah. So you know, it's a little, the fans a little different, right? Plus, out here, you see different people all the time, right? You buy this guy from this show, someone from this show. You see different, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a place where A-list actors, you know, live all the time. Yeah.
Right. And let's get one thing straight. We're not A-list actors.
You're a Discovery Channel star, though.
Oh, no, that was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So when WCW goes under and you know that it's going to be taken over by WWE, are you freaking out like, oh, my God, I might not have a job now?
That's a good question. Yeah, we were looking for answers.
Hmm.
Shane McMahon walks in the locker room. Now you know it's real. Right now it's the last show. Now you know it's real, it's happening. But now the questions arise: am I gonna have a job? Number one, is this because at the time this is like a, it's like a, when you're a young guy doing all this with all your buddies, it's like a dream. So yeah. is this ride gonna end?
Yeah.
And then okay, we may go over there. Are we gonna survive? Typically, Vince doesn't continue to create a character, continue to accessorize a character that's already been created by another company. He doesn't do that. Yeah. Typically, he'll break that guy down and rebuild him the way he wants him. So there's that question. How is that going to work? Now we have double the roster, but the same amount of TV time. Where are we going to fit in? Right. So now the competition, right? Talent wise.
Yeah.
So we're wondering a lot of questions. And then when we get there, there's such a, it was challenging because the talent was almost taking this Monday Night War thing or this competition. They were taking it personal. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. So we didn't, in the beginning, they weren't welcoming. Not all of them, but a lot of them were not welcoming, which I don't think they saw the big picture, the business side. If the guys had befriended us, vice versa, and we bonded, we all would have made more money and had more say and been a voice. But we kind of, we were like water and oil at times. And it just, for business, from a talent standpoint, that does not help you. And then ultimately it reflected in the product, because at the time, and you probably remember this, the product kind of went downhill. We went into a slump. Yes. Now I do get it. The economy was changing also, and it was an effect, the economy, but the business was also in a slump.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a challenging part, but at the same time, it was a fantastic time to be in the business. I think that'll never happen again.
No.
McMahon's group coming into WCW and on their show.
Yeah.
And literally, it was the most real thing that had happened in the industry in a long time. That being said, being the most real thing that had happened in the industry, it could have been capitalized on.
Hmm.
So I think that part was a failure. I know it's, I couldn't have done it. That's not my wheelhouse, but it was a time that was so interesting. Could have been so much more from a TV entertainment standpoint.
Yeah.
That's just my two cents on it.
I mean, the fact that there was no more competition, I feel like you're right. WWE went into this like slump because it's like, oh, whatever we do, people are going to watch.
Yeah. You're 100% correct.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will know your work best for the short time, really, relatively speaking, with Billy and Chuck.
Yeah.
How was this originally pitched to you?
On a whim, like all things at that time.
By Vince?
I think I actually got Vince came up to me a few minutes later, but I mean, the first person who might have told me was either Sergeant Slaughter or Paul Levesque, Triple H. One of those two guys, or they might have told me at the same time, I don't remember. And then Vince shortly after. And basically they said, hey, you're going to be this flamboyant group. You're gonna bleach your hair blonde. Vince used the term platinum blonde. You're going to wear robes. And we were like, all right. We didn't know much about it. Little did we know, cable television network ratings week was coming down the road. The ceremony or the wedding, you could say.
Yeah.
And they wanted to peek out on that. So, I believe we did it. We were number one rated that night. So it worked. But the characters, we were two guys having fun. We had more fun with that. And I felt the audience could see that. And when the audience sees that you are genuinely having fun, they read that. And I think they enjoy it. Because no matter if someone's heterosexual, that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it was like, we're like two bros, right? And how many guys would have wanted to be in that? I don't know. I know a lot of guys told me, man, that would have been so much fun to do. You know, straight guys. That would have been fun. Doesn't matter, you know? And it's a character, so we never took it personally what we were doing. We never took it personally. And it was cutting edge. If you think about that, right? That storyline at the time was cutting edge, right? Now, same-sex marriage. There's a lot of talk about a lot of gender topic conversations going out there, which is fantastic. But at the time, not spoke about too much. So it was cutting edge. And it paid well. So it was fun.
Billy Gunn told me it was really tough on his kids because, you know, they thought that that was real.
I'm glad you brought that up because my daughter was super young at the time. I don't think she believed it was real, but I believe she was like, Dad, you know, like, what are you guys doing? You know what I mean? Because she's young. She doesn't understand.
Yeah.
Some of the guys in the business were like, what do you got? Why are you doing that? You know, tell them you don't want to do it. And I'm like, well, do what?
Yeah.
We're playing a role. If you guys don't believe that you're actors to some extent, then you're lying to yourselves, right? We're actors playing a role. Unfortunately, a lot of guys end up trying to live or believing in their gimmick. And we've seen that, right? How that works out. So don't take it personal. Have fun with it. And we did. But I thought we did it to the best of our ability.
The fact that there was actually a plan for this is actually surprising because there's a lot of times where it's like, all right, this is your character. We'll figure it out week to week. The fact that the end goal here was that ceremony is kind of uncommon.
Kind of uncommon. And we didn't know that that was the end goal in the beginning.
Okay.
We didn't personally. I think Vince is an intelligent man. I think he knew maybe. Or maybe he didn't know right off the bat, but it soon turned into that goal. So I may be off a little bit. That first night, there may not have been an ultimate goal, but soon after there was.
How do you find your footing when you guys break up, when you're not a tag team anymore?
That's a good question. Because that's a very dynamic character. It's a very dramatic character, strong character. That was we went into the FBI thing, which I thought was maybe a good thing to do because it was kind of something totally different. And it was fun. And it was also something that I was familiar with just because I grew up in New England and there's the Italian American, you know, innuendos and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun with it. So I thought that was a good way to transition. I mean, again, they asked me, hey, what do you want to do? And I said, well, it'd be nice to do something that kind of I can relate to where I grew up and, you know, obviously at an entertainment level. And they decided to put that together.
So, and then from there, I mean, you really took a piece out of your real life with the biker gimmick.
Yeah.
But I know there was a lot of people, though, that went, that looks a lot like what The Undertaker did with the American Badass.
Right. Which was not... Unfortunately, I've heard that it was called like a knockoff of the Badass and all this stuff. It was not supposed to be anything like that. basically I had been building motorcycles my whole life. I had a magazine that had like a feature of mine in it, and I wanted to show Vince and say, hey, can we do something like this? Hmm. And he said, oh, how you built this? How come we're not doing this? I'm not sure. How come we're not? So that's how that all happened. And it was funny because I was just speaking to a gentleman before speaking to you, and he brought up a good point. Pop culture at that time, the Discovery shows, Orange County Choppers, the Jesse Jameses, all those shows are just starting to take off.
Yeah.
There was a relationship there with the motorcycles. So yeah. That's what, for me, that's what it was. It wasn't about doing this badass character. It was what was going on outside of wrestling. I was trying to mend that, the motorcycles and all that cool stuff, which is super hot now, right? I mean, look, how successful was Orange County Choppers?
Super successful, yeah.
And how successful is the automotive side of television now? All these shows.
Man, look. Everywhere. And you know this better than anybody. People who love cars and people who love motorcycles, they're super passionate about them.
It's Americana, yeah. Right? So that's where I was going with that. And then at the same time, I signed a 2-year contract, 06 to 08. I knew that was probably my last run, unless something spectacular happened. Hmm. So I was planning for the future, if that makes any sense. Now, was I strategically planning? No, but I said, if I can get this stuff out here now on TV, start to get my shop developed, maybe, you know, it'll give me a little exposure, which it did, because it, you can have this best bike builder here, but you got this guy who's a good bike builder, but he's a professional wrestler. Makes for a good story. So yeah. I was able to get some exposure that way. So it worked. Completely strategic? No, but I saw something there.
Do you have people do you have customers that come in because they want bikes built by you simply because they're a fan?
So I don't have my doors open to the public, right? Everything's word of mouth through people I know or through past customers. And they just reach out to me simply as Instagram or an email. But some of them, absolutely yes. Not all of them. Some of them, yes, which is okay. But at the same time, I really worked hard to develop my craft. Yeah. So I take a lot of pride in that. And I think that's where I've gotten to now.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, yes. In the beginning, yes. And I think people just want to, because a lot of the people in the automotive and car world, they're not into wrestling, but they're like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
They find it interesting. So it's just, it helps.
We wind things down here, I know there's going to be a lot of people who love cars that are watching this right now. Yeah. What's Chuck Palumbo's favorite car?
I got a few, but I have a 65 Corvette Stingray.
Okay.
Which that's probably my favorite car. But I do have a 70 Camaro Z28 Rally Sport, Z28 70. So those, I like old trucks too. Love old trucks, but
what's your daily driver?
General Motors guy. I'm sorry.
What's your daily driver?
Oh, so I got a, so it's funny because my daily drivers are the opposite. Like I have like a new Accord because it's got, gets good gas mileage and it's comfortable and I can forget about it. And then I have a diesel, Chevy that I use for my, you know, towing and all that stuff. Then on the weekends, you know, like on Sundays or Saturdays or, you know, whatever, I'll take one of the cars or a motorcycle or something like that.
You got a lot of vehicles.
I do. It's a problem. But, you know, hey, it's safe. It's fun.
I end every interview talking about gratitude. And first of all, thank you so much. It's been so great diving into this conversation with you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. You know, I just like to say that when people are genuinely interested in what you're doing and they'll do something like this, an interview or watch me on YouTube or anything like that, that's a big deal. So yeah. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, yeah. I appreciate you. And again, everyone can subscribe to your YouTube channel, Chuck of All Trades. By the way, you need to change your profile photo on there so people know it's actually you.
Oh, okay. I will do that. I got my little puppy on there now.
That's right. But your puppy, unless your puppy's name is Chuck, it doesn't make any sense.
That's why they pay you the big bucks, man. I got to figure that out.
Well, you know, then people can look at it and go, it's Chuck Palumbo. I recognize him.
I'm going to do that today.
Okay. I end every interview talking about gratitude, and I want to know, what are three things in your life that you're grateful for right now?
Yeah. Number one, my daughter. My health. And I think, and this is not, my daughter's number one, obviously. My health is important, but I'm a very fortunate to have great people around me. So I'm one of the few guys I have. How many people can say they have one best friend? Not many, right? One. I have a group of guys that I grew up with on the East Coast from grade school who were still friends to this day, close friends. And I have a group, I befriended a group of guys out here when I came out here for the Navy who I'm close with. So I have a lot of times family's not blood, right? I have a fantastic group of people around me who I care about and they care about me. So I'm very lucky.
I love it. And speaking of health, you look like you could still jump in the ring right now. You look like you're in tremendous shape.
Well, thank you. But I don't know about that.
I don't know. You look great. I want to look half as good as you when I'm your age.
Oh, man. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. I'm going to be, I might as well say it. I have to come you know, to terms with this. I'll be 50 next month. So I'm like, oh, man, 50. When did this all happen?
You look great. Nobody would believe that you're 49 right now.
Thank you.
Chuck, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome, man. Chris, good to, it's great to speak with you. Like I said, I'll continue to watch your stuff, man. Keep it up.
And I'll come down down south, a little further south in California, and we'll do this in person next time.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Have a good day, man.
Ah, what a guy. Thank you to Chuck Palumbo for the great conversation. And thank you to you for sharing part of your day with us. Again, subscribe to Chuck's channel on YouTube, Chuck of All Trades. And while you're on there, drop a subscribe for my new channel, CVV Clips, where I've been posting clips from some of my favorite interviews on there. As Mother Teresa famously said, the good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow, but do good anyway. Be great. Be grateful. We'll see you on the next one. Man, 3 episodes this week. We'll see you on the next one this Friday for some more insight.